Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. Today we are studying from the Big Book and we are on page 5, paragraph 6, and going to read that single paragraph. And I wanted to let you know that today is Monday, February 4th, 2019. The share ID numbers for, let's see if I can get this in straight order. Today's readers are today for the 12 steps, Penina, the 12 traditions, Carol H. Reading the text today is Leslie M., Kathy Jo P., and Susan H. The share ID numbers for this particular meeting yesterday would have been the Sunday special edition, and that number is 12496. 12,496, and then today's earlier 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 12498, 12498. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Penina to read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Penina L., a compulsive overeater from South Florida. The 12 steps and Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to return our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for this opportunity. And I pass.
Thank you, Penina. And Carol H., can you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Carol H., recovered compulsive eater in Northern Colorado. Thanks for your service, Kathleen. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Carol H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 5, the 6th paragraph, beginning with renewing my resolve. And good morning, Leslie M., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed, and confidence began to be replaced by cocksureness. I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it takes. One day I walked into a cafe to telephone. In no time, I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. As the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I would manage better next time, but I might as well get good and drunk then, and I did. Once again, I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. I've done this many times in my OA career. I tried again and again and again. I would often, I would make a resolve every morning after a binge. And then I would find myself breaking that resolve as I was driving home from work, wandering aimlessly through a supermarket looking for that perfect bite. But each time I told myself I would manage better next time. However, while I was in charge, while it was my willpower, I could never manage better next time. But, I think for me, the shame of being a compulsive overeater and the shame of this disease and being in OA for 28 years and not being recovered was and not being abstinent was something I had to hide. I had to hide it all. And the way I hid was in the food. So I thought I could manage it better next time. However, I found that, but each time it would be, well, I'd get good and drunk. And I did. I would binge and binge and binge until I was sick. The thing that I found this time is that, for me, this speaks to my powerlessness and until I was willing to surrender. But after my last binge, I finally realized that I not only was I powerless over the food, but that I was also powerless over my thinking. When I think I know something, I could be in big trouble. And I really, and because that most of the time for me, that was the disease talking. It was not, I didn't have any abstinence and I didn't have any recovery, So it would happen again and again, much to my humiliation. But I couldn't find a way out, even though I was still, I've been in OA a long time, until I finally surrendered and followed the instructions in this book and the direction of my sponsor. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Karen W.
Okay,
Jackie H.
All
Jackie
I heard
H.
I heard Jackie H.
Laura W.
L. Laura W.
Carrie K.
Kara.
Carol
K. Kara L.
Patty K.
Patty T. Who was after Patty?
Kaylee R.
Say that again.
Kaylee R.
Kaylee R.
D.
Okay, let's
Deborah
stop there.
J.
Let's stop here. Okay, here's what I have. I have, I think I heard this right. Jackie H, Laura W, I think I heard Carol K, Kara L, Patty T, Kaylee R, and I got Donna B and Deborah at the end. I think that's right. Okay, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So go ahead, Jackie H.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Kathleen. And this is Jackie H., recovered just for today in Colorado. What really stood out to me was this. This is this beautiful little place here. He said that he renewing his resolve, he tried again. And some time had passed, and confidence began to be replaced by cocksureness. And that really stood out for me. Because that is such a huge ego thing, right? There is a difference in being confident and being sure-footed, whatever, and having the ego take over and having my own self-will. And then I'm off to the races and whatever it is. And I am just so grateful today that I have a program, that I have a higher power that will speak to me and help me, because I become cocksure. I have this little cockiness sometimes and my confidence turns into that. And you know what? I have this beautiful gift that my higher power will show me when I am doing that. Something will sneak up on me. And it did this weekend. I had a real thinking problem. I mean, I was really overthinking things, and before that, I think I probably was feeling maybe not overconfident, but depending upon my own will. And so, what got to happen to me is that I got to see how quickly we can be back in our disease. And it may not have been with food or substances or anything, but it sure as heck was in my mind. And I could not get some of these thoughts out of my mind. I would do a 10th step on it. And I finally had to call a fellow last night. And in talking with this fellow and getting so sure that it was just my thinking had gone crazy. And I was able to recognize that, and oh, thank you, God, that I did. And then it just shed away. And this morning I woke up and it was gone. And I got to say thank you for showing me. Thank you for showing me what it looks like to be in self-will, because it's not a fun place to be. Thank you, God, for showing me that. And thank you for having people in my path that can help shine light on that. And thank you that today I have the humility to say out loud to somebody, I'm struggling in this area, instead of holding it into myself so that it becomes full-blown. And then who knows, maybe it would have gone back to the food. Who knows? I don't know. But it didn't. And today I am still sitting here, a recovered woman, and so grateful for that. Thank you all for being here, and I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Laura W., you're up next, followed by Carol K., I think it was.
Thanks, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, all I hear in this is I. It's his self. It's his ego. I tried again. There's so many mornings I woke up and I said to myself, I am not going to do this again. I am going to eat healthy today. I am not, you know, it's such arrogance and, you know, addiction is the only disease that tells me that I don't have a disease. It tells me that I am okay. I can stop anytime. Let's, you know, and I'm just grateful to be on the line today on this Monday morning, not having to start over today, you know, not having to get abstinent today. And it's a very, very, you know, it was very uncomfortable for me, but I had to work through that uncomfortability in order to find my higher power. And that cocksureness that Bill talks about, you know, that ego, it's arrogance driven by the compulsion. And, you know, many times I would say to myself, I'm going to do this better next time. I'm going to be better next time. Why can't I get this? I'm pretty, you know, smart in other areas of my life. Why, you know, why can't I get this? Oh, forget it. I'm just going to go do this anyway then, you know, and I did. And years went by because I did not know that not only did I have an allergy of the body, but even worse for me was that obsession of the mind that told me I had to do what I was doing with food. And people didn't understand. I remember people saying, I don't get it, Laura. If you're hungry, just eat. And I would be starving myself. And I physically could not. And that obsession of the mind drove me to act and have these behaviors that were harming my body and harming my mind. And all action is born in thought. So as soon as I start to think about something, I'm in trouble, you know, and I don't realize until I can put the food down and realize that it's not just about putting the food down. That's where it all begins. That's where the work begins. I need to realize that I am powerless and I need a power greater than myself. And everything that I do today, I try, brings me back to God. And if I'm feeling like I today, I know that there's something blocking me from my higher power and I need to pause. I call it a sacred pause. I need to pause and ask my higher power, okay, God, what's going to bring me back to you? What do I need to do? And I need to run it over with my sponsor. And I'm grateful today to be living one day at a time in recovery. And I don't, you know, just for today, I stay abstinent. I don't have a cocksuredness anymore. I have a comfortability with the way that my life is because it's so much more peaceful than in that crazy obsession of the mind and that constant anxiety that I had while in the disease. So, you know, recovery is possible. Permanent recovery is possible. And my ease and comfort today comes from God. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
And thank you, Laura W. Perfect timing. So, Carol K., you're up next, followed by Kara L.
Thank you so much. This is Carrie K. from Colorado.
Oh, Carrie K., sorry.
That's okay. I don't know how you keep that litany of names straight in the first place. So there are a couple of things in that reading that have been commented on by the shares already this morning, but I thought I would like to comment on those as well. And where he notes that he got cocky. He knew how to handle everything. And that was me. I'd go to some program, some weight control program, and after a couple of weeks of success, then I'd be like, I got this. I mean, eating healthily is not rocket science. It's pretty simple. I knew what my challenges were, though I had no idea I was a compulsive overeater at the time. But I'd be like, I don't need to go there for support or guidance. I got this. I know how to do it. Well, that lasted maybe 2 days, three, and then I was back where I started. And as many of us know, you lose 10 pounds and then you gain 15 back. And I would do that over and over again. And then the part that definitely had my name written in the margins is where he says, I might as well get good and drunk because that's what I would do. I'd eat one thing. I'd have that one compulsive bite. And my attitude was, well, I've already blown it for today. I might as well eat whatever I want and I'll do better tomorrow. And for me, tomorrow never came. So the next day it would be the exact same story and the next day and the next day. And then it was, okay, starting Monday. I always had to start on a Monday. Starting Monday, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do this right. But it never happened. I don't care if every day was Monday. It just never happened. I thought I could do it with self-will and self-control. I thought I had all the answers. And my disease loved me thinking that. But in reality, I didn't have the answers. And it wasn't about me being in control. That's what got me in trouble every time. So of all the text in Bill's story, I think these two sentences so clearly define how I was every week, every month, every year. that, like I said, they should just have my name written in the margin. See Carrie K in Colorado. This is her. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Carrie K. So, Kara L., you're up next, followed by Patty T.
Good morning. My name is Kara L. from Southern California, recovered in compulsive overeater, Southern California. Thank you, everybody, for being of service this morning. I've just heard some really awesome things already, and I was just looking through this paragraph as I was listening, and I is nine times in here, and I was like, wow. And that for me is where I identify in, is I see how when I'm in my own will, you know, I think I have control until I'm letting that food back into my meal plan, and then all of a sudden more food, and then all of a sudden more food, and then, and I love the line where he says, I could laugh at the gin mills now. You know, when I was on a new food plan, I was sure this was the answer. I was sure that, oh, everything else, I could laugh off because I knew this is what I was going to eat, until I didn't. Until I said, well, I already had a little bit off this food plan, my black and white thinking, and now, you know, I just opened the floodgates. I can just eat whatever. And it's amazing how I can identify in with something written so long ago. I'm ever so grateful that today I get to practice staying out of the eyes and into God. I get to practice turning to my higher power for decisions. And that's totally, you know, I find myself, I'll stop and I'll be like, well, what should I do about this? And then I'm like, wait a minute, did I take it to my higher power? Did I ask for an intuitive thought, an inspiration, or a decision? Or am I in self-will trying to make this decision by myself? And it's amazing, once I stop and take that pause and I ask for an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, it usually comes. And to the little simplest things, going to a party yesterday afternoon, they were serving food at a different time than I usually eat. You know, God, how am I going to handle lunch and dinner? All of a sudden, you know, I stopped thinking about it after I asked, and a plan came into my mind that worked out really well. And I was satisfied and happy, and I was able not to eat my alcoholic foods, and able to eat, you know, and enjoy the party and enjoy the people and to talk to people and not be so worried about what I was going to eat, when I was going to eat it, how I was going to eat it, because the plan was already there when I asked for help. It, you know, and everything that has been happening. When I go for a walk, which way should I go, God? And I just go. And it says in our morning reading on awakening, you know, sometimes we'll make foolish decisions. But I have to practice. I have to practice because I spent so many years not going to my higher power. I need to practice. So, you know, today I'm so thankful for Vision. I'm so thankful for everybody on the line today. And but I'm just incredibly thankful for my higher power and the life that I've been given. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Kara L. So, Patty T., you're up next, followed by Kaylee R.
Hi, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California. Thank you, Kathleen. Gosh, the shares this morning have been awesome, awesome. And I just want to add that in addition to the I and the ego and all of that, this is a real indicator to me of what a progressive disease this is and the cycle of that. At the bottom of page 5, some time passed, okay? So I resolved again, I tried again, and some time passed. And then in no time, I was beating my head on, I was beating on the bar asking what happened. How did that happen? And the next time, I'd manage better. That's the cycle of the progression of the disease for me. That is exactly what happened over and over and over again until I found these rooms, you know. And even during my six-year relapse of continuous relapse, that was happening, spurred by the ego. You know, that egocentric thinking that I can do it my way. I don't, you know, we'll work the Petty Program Anonymous, you know, all the way to the powerlessness of not even being able to recognize that I had a disease, that the disease was running me, you know, into the ground with the food. And you know, I just see it. Sometime, it's just like that suddenly, you know, suddenly he had the thought, if he poured a little whiskey into the milk, it couldn't hurt him on a full stomach. That some time passed and I began to feel better. And in no time, I was beating my head against the wall saying, how did this 40 pounds come on? But next time, I'll do better. Wow, the futility in that. And, you know, today, I don't have to do that. Today, I get to write a tip step on whatever is bothering me. Today, I get to call my sponsor every day and reach out and commit and report my food. Today, I have fellows I can contact to share with and listen to, you know, and learn to listen to instead of my own head. And that's the daily reprieve. I have to keep myself in fit spiritual condition. I have to connect with God, and I have to connect with you. Thanks for letting me share, I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. So, Kaylee R., you're up next, followed by Donna B.
Hi, this is Kaylee R. from Northern California. Thank you so much, Team Monday, for making this meeting happen. I just wanted to comment on the reading today. So, anyway, two paragraphs before this, Bill is saying, I saw I could not take so much as one drink, and this time I meant business, and so I did, right? And how many times do we say that we mean business, and we were going to go on a diet, and that was the end? But then two paragraphs later, or the next paragraph, he's drunk, and then this paragraph that we're reading today, he tried again. And then all of a sudden, second sentence, his ego comes in. His confidence is being replaced by cocksuredness. And, right, our ego comes in, and that's when we start eating again. He could laugh at the gin mills. You know, I could laugh at the Krispy Kremes or whatever. I could do this time. I had what it takes now, but I didn't have a power greater than myself. I was trying to do this on my own, or I was trying to do this with whatever weight loss program I was using at the time. I wasn't trying to, you know, figure out the mental obsession and the allergy of the body or find a spiritual, a higher power or spiritual program. So then he walks into the cafe to telephone, and there he is, beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened again. And, you know, we, as working this program, we see that without this higher power and the spiritual awakening, we cannot remain neutral with the food and for Bill for the alcohol. And then here he goes. He said, I might as well get good and drunk then, and I did. And, right, that's us. We take that first bite and we say, F it, and we're going to eat everything, and we'll start again tomorrow, or we'll start again next Monday, or whatever it may be. But it doesn't matter if it's that one bite. If today you take one bite and you know that, don't think it's, you might as well get good and drunk. You know, you're abstinent for the minute. You're abstinent one day at a time. You can start your abstinence at 5 p.m. today if that's when your first bite was at 4:55. You can start at 5 p.m. It's not... We don't have to wait until tomorrow or wait until Monday or whatever it may be. We can start this today. And if you're struggling, call someone. Call a recovered person on this line. There are so many of us that want to talk to you and want to help you get recovered. I'm so just excited to be in Bill's story and passionate about this big book. And I'm grateful for everybody on the lines this morning. And thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Kaylee R. Donna B., you're up next, followed by Deborah, and I didn't catch your last initial, Deborah, but I'll get that. So Donna B., go ahead.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. In no time, I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. And thank God I do not find myself in that position today with alcohol or food, but I do continue to find myself in that position with my defects of character. When I'm home with my family and I feel comfortable and at ease, it's easier for me to be quiet, present, and listening. But when I go to social engagements where I feel awkward and uncomfortable, this thing possesses me and I can't stop talking. Blah, 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 blah. And I get in the car on the way home and I bang my fist on the dashboard and I look at my husband and I say, why? Why can't I just shut up? And he sort of looks at me and says, I don't know. Why can't you shut up? So I can just so relate, especially with this past weekend of so many social gatherings. And it takes me back to step 6 and 7. Where I have to ask God to grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. That it is my Creator that will relieve for me my defects of character, just as it was my Creator that relieved me of the compulsion to binge and purge. I'm so grateful for the direction in the Big Book. So many lines in the book that remind me to keep going back to my higher power, not only for direction, but also for the actual power to do what I cannot do myself. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Donna B. So before we hear from Deborah, just a reminder, because we'll be taking some more names after Deborah, we're on page 5, the 6th paragraph. We're just reading that one paragraph. So, Deborah, if you could go ahead and give me the first initial of your last name, please.
Yes, good morning. My name is Deborah J. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I just want to say that I'm grateful today to be in the rooms, you know, to be on Vision for you. I can see where Bill is coming from. As far as renewing my resolve, I tried to do that constantly, and I just kept failing and failing. And until I fully could see within my innermost self that I'm a compulsive overeater and that my life is unmanageable, meaning that my thinking is really unmanageable because all I do is constantly obsess over food and different ways of trying not to eat and trying to maintain and things of that nature. But now I see. And so now what I do is when I start having those thoughts and wanting to use as far as eating foods, I got a phone this morning. I pick up the phone today and I'll call someone. You know, I reach out today. I'm learning how to write. I hate writing, so I'm learning how to write. And I'm just grateful for this fellowship. I never wanted to admit that, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater because it made me feel like it was something wrong with me, you know, and I can't control what I eat, and I hate that, you know, but I thank God today that, you know, I can reach out for help, and I guess that's his way of saying that, acknowledge me, ask me, and he will provide my needs. That's all I have. Once again, thank you guys for being here for me, and I pass.
And thank you, Deborah J. Okay, who else would like to share on that one paragraph on the last
Nancy
one?
Nancy L.
John K.
Beatrice O.
Wendy E.
Beatrice O.
Wendy M.
Beatrice O.
I got you, Beatrice.
Okay, B. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Let's stop there, okay? I have Nancy, didn't catch your last initial, John K., Wendy N., Beatrice O., and Sherry KB. So go ahead, Nancy. And what's the last initial? First initial
L
of your last
Larry.
Name, Nancy? Larry.
L.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
L, I got
thank
it.
You.
Thanks, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Team Monday, for your service this morning. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. And one thing I love about Bill is that he tells on himself. And you know, I always lived in so much secrecy. I didn't think anybody knew all my little secrets. And, you know, as I got bigger and bigger, I figured, well, they probably have some kind of an idea that I'm different and so on and so forth. But anyway, I had this bright idea about 2 weeks ago. First of all, I had to fall into a bit of self-pity. I didn't have to, but I had found myself doing that. Especially before a food thought, they'll say, you know, I'm just tired of cooking 2 meals or 3 meals a day. I'm just tired of it. And I, I want to change. I want some of this finger food that'll work. It'll work. A lot of people eat this stuff. And yeah, I used to have a little problem with it, but you know, and I had it down on my grocery list. I was going to buy it. And I thought, you know, I think I better tell on myself here. I'm going to run it by my sponsor. And she didn't think it was that great of an idea. She didn't say no. She didn't go, oh, none of that. She was just very professional about it and explained a few things about that type of food. And so she gave me some other ideas. And instead of fighting her, I scratched those two things off my grocery list and bought some other food. And you know that the food that I was going to buy, it didn't even call to me anymore. It's just off my list. It's off my list. And I'm very grateful for my sponsor. More than anything, I'm grateful to my higher power for giving me that little unction to say, how about checking this out with someone first, you know? And I hope that happens more often in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Nancy L. John K., you're up next, followed by Wendy M.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Team Monday. This is John Kierner, recovered eater in Los Angeles. You know, it's so funny, because in that previous paragraph, Bill got it. He finally understood. He couldn't take as much as the first drink. Well, there's the answer, right? Well, he had identified the allergy of the body. The trouble is that pesky old obsession in the mind, right? You know, if the disease of alcoholism was only the allergy of the body, every rehab would have 100% success rate, right? I mean, it'd be like peanut allergy. If somebody gets a peanut allergy and it closes up their throat and they can't breathe, you know, once they figure that out, they don't say, well, maybe I can handle peanuts again. It's done, right? But with alcoholism and compulsive eating, it's the obsession of the mind is the killer. It's what we work on the most once we're here. And it's made up of a lot of little pieces of mini insanity, you know. We were talking about more about alcoholism chapter yesterday, and it has wonderful examples. And in this case, I think Bill got hit with that kind of insanity that hits Fred in More About Alcoholism, you know, that strange mental blank spot, which I think is the toughest type of insanity, and it hit Bill, you know. And, you know, the other line that I heard there that's so important to me as a compulsive eater is I might as well get good and drunk. And like everybody before me has said, you know, when you find yourself in that position, it just gives you license to binge. But, you know, you're just going to do it today. Since you messed up today, we'll get it together tomorrow. You know, and we all know how that, you know, that scene goes. You know, but this scenario is really predominant with the food for me. You know, someone here in LA says, perfection is the conjoined twin of compulsive overeating, you know, perfectionism. And because my disease was always trying to find a way to get me into the food again. And one of the ways it did it was like trying to push perfectionism, you know. You're not perfect. You might as well give it in. You know, you ate a pea you shouldn't have, so you might as well go have a sheet cake, right? But, you know, that's an important part of our disease is to, you know, I always say your food plan should be, you know, strong but not brittle because, yeah, you will do that. Oh, I had one thing, and it's you know, it's the disease. But so another reason I think it's so important to have a really clearly defined food plan because you don't always know, you know. And I know people with loosey-goosey food plans. And I was saying to somebody once, I said, you know, it's not like over in AA we don't have people who slip. But gosh darn it, when they slip, they know they've slipped, you know. And how many people with these loosey-goosey food plans end up not realizing they're in the middle of a relapse until they've been in it a while because they never really had it figured out. And I'll just end with saying, you know, Bill, you know, you can look at all these things, and I can feel for Bill because he didn't have what we have now. He didn't have somebody explaining this, nobody explaining alcoholism. Yeah, I was in here, but it's all he knew. It's all anybody knew. And thank God Bill kept going and made it so we don't have to be I anymore. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, John K. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Beatrice O.
Yes, good morning. Wendy, I'm recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful to be on the line and all of your services appreciated. Yeah, the thing about Bill that I really appreciate, somebody said it well a few minutes ago, is that he is willing to tell us how it really was for him. Like, he's not whitewashing anything. He's completely showing who he is, you know. And if I have the courage, like this morning, right, so I have the courage this morning. I woke up with a lot of ideas, and I woke up with a head full of the disease. And thank God today, because the food is down, I can feel that I wake up with fear, with anger, with resentment. Let's go. Let's get this thing going, right? And that I can call you guys. I can pause and call you guys. I think I texted several people this morning, hi, are you available, right? Because my thinking this morning was diseased, right? And Bill is showing us that. Bill is showing us what it looks like. And I completely identify with Bill. And my sick head cannot fix my sick head this morning. It just can't do that. So I call you guys and I get God's thinking, right? I get what God's will would be for me in this situation. And I have to say, you know, the food now and for the last couple of years has been down, thank you, God, you know. But what's up for me and what I don't want to tell you about is the fact that I exploded on my boyfriend several times this weekend. And each time I did it, it felt great for about 8 seconds, and then it felt awful. It's exactly what Bill is describing here. And, I high resolve, I won't do that again. And, you know, an hour later, I'm binging emotionally, right? I'm all over being a child, binging emotionally, and feeling great for 8 seconds and then feeling horrible remorse, right? It's the same thing. When I am picking up anger and exploding on somebody, it's just like picking up the cakes, the potato chips, the ice cream. It doesn't matter. I'm looking for the effect. I'm chasing an effect, and I think that that's going to work, right? And, and it's like, well, I'll just read a book on it, you know, like a self-help book on it. No, that's not going to do the trick. What's going to do the trick is doing my inventory, which is what I did when I woke up. Called someone, did the inventory. And then the question is, do I want to be mature about love or do I want to be immature? I have that choice at any moment. And what is God's will here for me? And then the other thing I want to say, just this issue of, you know, I had what it takes. Thin is not well, right? I was thin for a long time. That is not necessarily well at all. So, and the other thing I want to say is it looks like Bill's sponsoring himself here. I had what it takes. I walk into a cafe. I would manage. I would. And if I don't call you guys and if I don't hear God's will, I'm in that state all the time thinking that's a good idea,
time,
thinking that my ideas are a good idea. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Beatrice O., it is your turn, followed by Sherry K.B.
Hello, is it my turn? This is Beatrice. Can I
yes.
be heard?
Yes.
Hi, this is Beatrice from Northern California, and I really like this paragraph where he says, you know, I was renewing my resolve. You know, he was working his own program, and, you know, we're taught to clean house and trust God. And as long as, you know, I've always cleaned up and I always, before that I was renewing my resolve with diets and different plans. And after I was clean for a while, I would eat again. But what keeps me from doing that are these 12 steps, because I am cleaning house and trusting God. And I can't get... stay sober without working these steps, because I have these cognitive distortions in my head, and I have to change my way of thinking, and I have to have a relationship with God. And these cravings and finding myself eating again is out of my control. It's the biochemistry. I have to have complete abstinence because my brain is flooded with these neurotransmitters that tell me that I need that feeling of well-being and that stimulate that craving in my brain. And the only way for me to be neutral around the food is not eat those alcoholic foods. You know, they say, you know, we're going to feel better when we're abstinent. Well, we feel everything better. And as long as I have a recovery plan that's based on self and is grounded in ego, I'm not going to be able to get well. And the other thing is, I have been stunting my growth. You know, it's like I'm like a small child trying to handle reality. You know, and as long as I stunt my growth, emotional growth, with food, I'm never going to grow emotionally. And, you know, finding God is about having, for me, it's having a relationship with God. My sponsor told me I need a God squad. You know, I need to have people in my life that are on the same path, that where their recovery is based on God. And, you know, there's a lot to say about the power of now, because that is where God is for me. And it takes a lot of effort to clean house, trust God, and be present in the moment. You know, the power of now, God is, that's where my, I get that power. Anyway, so thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And Sherry KB, you're up next.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful to recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And you know, this is, I'm so glad we're reading just this one paragraph, because to me, this is the mental twist and the mental blank spot getting together and ganging up on the intellect, telling it's going to be different this time. I can do it. I can handle it. That is what I've done most of my eating career in this lifetime. And that, where, you know, where's God in all this? And this is all about step one. This is really about step one, because you know, now I have what it takes. Now I've arrived, you know. I can do this thing. Just because I, you know, got to goal weight, now I can handle it. And then, you know, my disease tells me, well, I can get to goal weight, but I can eat the way I want to now. That's what happens with me, that I can handle it. And the next thing I know, you know, I'm in a place where I don't need to be. You know, Bill's in a bar. He's at a bar pounding on the table, you know. Asking myself, how did this happen again? I have done that to myself numerous times. How did that happen? How did I get here? I don't even remember. So that is that mental twist. The mental blank spot tells me, oh, what the heck? I'll just do this anyhow. I'll just have this one thing. It won't be a problem. And little do I know that, you know, sometimes the one thing that I took that little bite of that I didn't think mattered, it caught up with me is what happened. It catches up with me. Like somehow my mental twist will tell me I can get away with it. That's what's happened to me. And, you know, I love hearing this, because I need to be reminded all the time. Because, you know, my disease will still try to get in there to this day, and I'm recovered. And I, you know, my disease will tell me I'm not doing it right, or this or that. I mean, the disease is just waiting, lying in wait for me all the time. And as long as I have God with me and the steps, and I, you know, keep my nose in this book and I live in the steps, I'm going to be okay. But if I'm not, this is what's going to happen to me. Little by little by little, the disease is always there sneaking in. I had a sponsor who said to me, they had, their disease was called sneaky voice. And I'll never forget that. And it's just, as long as I have God in these steps, I can do this. And just, I was reading it again, and just how many eyes are in here. There are at least 9 eyes in here, and no higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, thank you, everyone, for your wonderful shares this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kathy Jo P. please read a vision for you?
Hello.
Kathy Jo, can you press?
Yep, I'm
go
here.
Ahead. Thank you.
The book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.